In the name of our risen Lord, Jesus of Nazareth, amen. Our text is the lesson just read, and we'd like to focus especially on the phrase, "Do you have anything to eat?" We live in an age that could hardly be described as enlightened or truthful. Many people think they know far more than previous generations, whereas the test scores reveal that they know less and less. In fact, one can have the strange phenomena of a world-famed mathematician calling Dr. George Farrell of the University of Iowa Divinity School, inquiring of him, "Who was Sarah in the Bible?" Indeed, there is a movement that relishes this emptiness, this deconstruction of our tradition. It's alive and gaining strength in many areas. This movement suggests that Shakespeare is really no more significant than graffiti painted on the wall. Indeed, it argues that all the classic works of literature, of history, of philosophy, are perspectival, that is, they are dominated by the male view and by a particular culture at a particular time, and therefore rendered quite useless for any normative function. And of course, the Bible joins that set of texts that is viewed as not helpful for the modern person. Indeed, under the leadership of a man like Dr. Fish at Duke, the intellectual world becomes somewhat like MTV. Lots of images, lots of noise, lots of heavy breathing, lots of grimacing faces, but no sense, no meaning. All of this may sell terribly well in our artificial age, but the truth remains, it doesn't work. As one of my Iowa farmers used to say, "Get real." That's exactly what our world needs, a healthy dose of reality. It's what you need. It's what I need. And Easter comes to us not simply as a dose, but as the center and summit of all reality. In the risen Lord Jesus Christ, things are literally real, fully, completely restored. The fragments of creation are called back together in the one who conquers death. The disciples were a very sincere group, but that didn't mean that they could understand what was real. They wanted to reduce the truth. When Jesus appears to them, they fear that it is a ghost, unreal, non-substantial. But our Lord comes, even as he comes to you and to me, and he says, "Come here, see, reach out, touch, look at my hands, look at my feet, kairos kai tous podas." Hands and feet that were still marked by the male prints are now extended in invitation, the invitation to get real and to see the victory that he won for them. And then what is a remarkable statement in my view, "Do you have anything to eat?" They still couldn't believe it. And so the Lord in gracious reality comes and they provide a piece of broiled fish. And that hand reaches out, and those teeth bite down, and suddenly his presence becomes real for them. And in that presence, all of creation is restored. And as pastors, it is our calling presently, or will be your calling, to be the most real of people. Not simply a glad hander, not simply an operator in religious affairs, not a small group politician who manages to stay on top, nor a sort of traveling revivalist that pops in a salvation pill and delivers a little moral prescription. That's not the real presence. That's empty. It won't satisfy your soul, nor will it satisfy the soul of your flock. No, you are to be real. And how are we to be real in an unreal world? Quite simply, by beholding, by hearing, by touching, by eating with Christ, by laying hold upon his living and gracious word, by holding up his real presence on the altar. In short, by holding up him. That is a glorious calling. We are called to show the same sort of compassion, to be present at the bedside, to be there in baptism, and all those little moments of pain or of joy, not simply to enter and then leave and to pile up another statistic so we can go on our successful way. The presence of a pastor is much more serious than that. For he comes to hold up his master and to give the one who has first given himself to him. Perhaps some of you were struck, I was, by an article in last week's Time magazine that now the best-selling disc among young people is sung by a group of monks in Spain and is Gregorian chant. That, when one of my classmates had just told me how behind the times our chapel worship was. Perhaps it's his perspective that is unreal. In fact, this commentator suggests that the appeal of this music is that young people see something substantial beyond it. And wouldn't it be irony that just as the world is ready for something real, the church has gone out after that which is faddish and frivolous? We in the church are built on what doesn't change, the resurrected Christ. Flannery O'Connor, a female writer with a penetrating eye for reality, wrote in one of her letters, "One of the awful things about writing when you are a Christian is that for you the ultimate reality is the incarnation, and nobody believes in the incarnation." Well, the disciples couldn't get it right. It was more natural to believe it was a ghost. But then they heard, then they saw, then they touched, then they ate, and they believed. And they saw the very heart of reality in the flesh and blood Christ who was raised, who had been slain and drained, but who now came to them and announced, "Peace be with you." and that is the real presence that you bring, the flesh and blood Jesus. You are his heralds. You are the real men announcing the real Savior. May God grant us good heralding, and may by God's grace many people come from that which is empty and unreal to that which is full, real, and peaceful, the presence of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.